Hello, Fire Rescue Wellness Podcast listeners. It's AZ, your host, and today I had an amazing conversation with my friend Anna August. She is an athletic trainer and director of injury care and prevention for Fairfax County Police, but also for Fairfax County Fire. So, all my Fairfax County firefighters, go see Anna for all of your rehab needs, or if you just want to watch puppies on the screen. You're going to love this episode. Please share it with someone who can use the information. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining me on the Fire Rescue Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, AZ. I find the research and resources and then provide the fire service with the so what, now what, to ensure the health and well-being of every member of our profession. Together, let's thrive.
Fire Rescue Wellness Podcast listeners, can you hear my morning voice? Yes, you can. We're recording early today, and I am with Anna August. Anna, say hello to the listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Well, first, I have to say, like, Anna August is, in my opinion, the best supervillain name ever. Are you thinking superhero? Because I was thinking villain.
I mean, I have had a lot of nicknames as a result of that last name since I was a kid, so... I mean, I'll go either way. I guess it probably depends on who you are in my life.
Oh, but you're my hero, but right. I like the villain name. So I don't know. All right, listeners, here's the deal. Anna works for Fairfax County, and we are going to tie her talk today into our little Fairfax County. What are the words? Anna, I can't think of the Fairfax County feature. I can't think of my own damn words.
Series?
Series. That's the word I needed. Gosh, this is where I should be like, cut, but we're not going to. All right. I want the listeners to get to know you today. Are you ready for the really hard questions?
I am ready.
You're ready? Okay. Who is, and you can answer this any way you want, who is Anna August?
Anna August is somebody who's just waiting on Jesus to come and helping as many people as I possibly can in the meantime.
Wait, okay, so riff on that a little bit more. Okay. What do you mean helping people?
Whatever that looks like. I have been obsessed with athletic training. Like my original career goal was to be a forest ranger. And I was just so tired after high school I wanted to go into the woods and be left alone, and which I'm sure there's all kinds of doctors will have opinions about. But I didn't want to take on student loans early, so I ended up at a local community college and then at Cal State Fullerton, which was local to me where I grew up in Southern California. And I took my first intro to athletic training class, and I have been obsessed with it because it is such a fantastic and broad way to help so many people with so many different things. And through that career, I have been able to, I worked at Disneyland for a little while, and now I've been doing law enforcement for over a decade. And so it just has taken me places and put me in the path of people with a range of healthcare problems. And I look at athletic trainers as sort of healthcare gap fillers. And so you get into these places and you have these skills that go everywhere, you know, our scope of practice goes from emergency, response all the way through rehab and reconditioning. And then I went and got my CSCS, and since then I've got my TSAC and a bunch of other stuff. And it's just fun to ask the question each morning is, look, how can I help this human enjoy their human experience better? Kind of. So that's what I mean by helping people. It's just really whatever that, like, God puts people in your path and they need something for you or you need something from them. And figuring out what that is and how you fit into their picture, hopefully in a positive way. And I certainly have made mistakes along the way and not always been as positive as I'd like to have been. But just that sort of puzzle of like, okay, what is this human doing in my office today or in the grocery store or at the DMV or whatever? And how can I contribute positively to that person's life?
That is potentially the best answer I have ever heard, but I have a side question.
I'm ready.
I try to stay on the straight and narrow, but I go on tangents. Cal State Fullerton, that's where Dr. Andy Galpin is, right? Was
yes,
he an instructor
so.
There when you were a student?
No, oh. I was there in the late, very late 90s and early 2000s. I graduated in 01. So a lot of like Galpin is there now, and there's another tactical guy there. Oh my goodness. On the strength and conditioning side, he works with Rob Orr and
Bob Lackey.
Yes. Yeah. So that happened after I graduated. So they're really very well known for their athletic training program, and then all the other kind of tactical connections have built up since I left, probably the last 10 years. Yeah.
I feel like it was because you were the trailblazer.
And this job didn't even exist when I graduated, so I cannot take any credit for that.
Damn it. I was trying to give you credit.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
So now we know who you are. Yes. What sets your soul on fire?
Man, I feel like I talked about that already. Well, I would say actually lots of things. Like I get excited about life. So helping people right now, growing vegetables, because it's that time of year. I'm a runner, I'm a knitter. But helping people is still probably that top thing, and just figuring out.
I keep seeing on Instagram these little, like, you can totally knit things, and or maybe it's crochet. They're like little penguins and ducks and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that's probably crochet. Yeah.
And I feel like I totally can't do that.
It's just, I taught myself off of YouTube, so anybody can learn. Oh. It just takes patience.
You too can be a knitter. I got you.
You too can be a knitter.
How are you changing the world, my friend?
Oh my goodness. It's just one interaction, one human at a time. Just little steps, one day at a time.
I think that's the best way. If you can put a smile on someone else's face for whatever reason during the day, I think you've won the day.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I want to talk about something. I know you might not want to talk about it, but I am so very proud of you for the award that you recently won from NATA. Yep. And would you please, I know you're probably like, I so don't want to talk about this, but I would love for you to tell the listeners about your award.
I will. So I am one of, I believe, 12 recipients this year of the Most Distinguished Athletic Trainer Award from the National Athletic Trainers Association. And it's an award that's kind of based on service to on the national level to the profession of athletic training. And I've already talked about how obsessed I am with the profession. And partially, my service has been in governmental affairs to help more tactical populations have access to athletic trainers. So for me, that volunteer service and everything has tied in. And so they look at sort of your body of work for the profession, but also outside. So all these presentations with Becky and Tracy to the International Associations of Chiefs of Police and TSAC and different things we've written and gotten just the name of athletic training out into the tactical space to be able to say, look, here's something that you can consider for your wellness program that might be an important piece for your recruits and for your incumbent officers and also for firefighters. Tracy does more work with fire than I have yet, but I am would use this to market myself. If you're a Fairfax County firefighter, you are welcome in my office anytime, any day. I am part of that WellFit collaboration. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But yeah, so it's a big deal. They'll give it to me in June. The county was super nice and put up a post everywhere about it.
And you cannot keep that secret.
I cannot keep it secret. And I'm just incredibly humbled by it. It is crazy. Like we were talking about before, to look back on, have enough of a career to look back on, I guess, is what's crazy about it.
That is true. You've been in your career long enough to look back on your career. That's an amazing perspective. Well, and since you mentioned Tracy and Becky, I did have on my list of questions what I wanted to talk to you about, because you guys did, was it 2 years ago? I think it was just the most freaking incredible two-part at Tactical Annual. Yes. About trauma-informed care. And I have a feeling some of my listeners might not even know what the heck that means. I want you to just fill up all the space. Tell us about trauma-informed care.
Awesome. So trauma-informed care, and that presentation was specifically about in the context of weightlifting and strength and conditioning, essentially tells either person who's lifting or the person that is helping that person lift, so that whatever the fitness professional is, to look for signs of where that person's nervous system might be at due to either, in my world, it's because of things that happen in their careers, but sometimes it's stuff that's going on at home. So it's really just the idea that there's more going on in the human being in front of you than you might realize. and that the interaction between that person's nervous system and their physical body is going to affect the ability of that training to make the positive changes that you're trying to make. And so as practitioners, we need to, A, be aware that that exists, especially in the tactical space. And sometimes I think back to my years as a college athletic trainer, or even with the performers at Disneyland, and I think, oh man, what did I miss when I just didn't know yet? In the whole world of healthcare wasn't looking at it. It's become a much, much more popular topic, which I'm really excited for. Because Tracy, Becky, and I took a trauma-informed weightlifting class together. Unfortunately, it was during the pandemic, so it had to be virtual. But it just kind of blew my mind to, and I was already, so you had Anna Hartman on your podcast. So I've done her 6 month or 4 month or whatever it is, Movement Rev mentorship. And that's, for me, that's where this all started, was my patients were clearly like not connecting with their bodies. Progress was slow with some of them, especially the chronic ones and like my saltier older MPOs. And I'm like, this is not for lack of trying, you know, they're getting frustrated and I'm getting frustrated. And so I'm looking at the nervous system and trauma informed practice and everything that Anna Hartman does, bringing her holistic perspective to it. And it has just changed the outcomes of my clinic. I'm able to talk to officers and people about, you know, managing their nervous system. And it actually is a helpful tool. I'm not as versed on this on the fire side, but I know on the police side, they're often hesitant to go get mental health help because of various stigmas or time or whatever. But now that I can explain to them, look, you're not crazy, but because you're so stressed out or you've got some post-traumatic stress going on, you're not getting stronger as fast as you want to. The pain is being perpetuated or is possibly being perpetuated or supplemented by this trauma you're holding on to in your body. So the three of us, especially Becky, Tracy, and I have been really passionate about getting that message to practitioners, but also to officers. We actually did another presentation at IECP, Officer Safety and Wellness, last month. And just was so well received because it was a lot of hands-on practical things that we were giving to officers to say, look, maybe you don't have an athletic trainer who can walk you through the far near exercise or how to use suction cups to take your nervous system back to parasympathetic, or, you know, or realize even how stretches, like stretching your thoracic spine because of where the parasympathetic ganglia are, all can help sort of settle your nervous system before you start exercising. And you need to pay attention to what you're doing for exercise. Like if you're hyper aroused all the time and that's your comfort zone, well, your body can only rev at that many RPMs like for so long. You need to learn to take it back down and get comfortable with that, which is crazy for like a super civilian like me to even imagine, like not being able to go home and relax and feel good about it. But that relaxation creates like fear or anxiety or just tension. And so being able to, that's such a gift to be able to give somebody to even just the thought of it, even if my solutions aren't the ones that get them to that place, they can start to ask those questions of other people. And so at least I've been able to plant the seed, like, look, this is all connected. Like it's not just your knee. It's not just your shoulder. It's not just your back. It is all connected. So sorry, really long answer.
No, I can listen to this all day because I'm a little bit late to this party. I mean, I knew maybe, 5-6 years ago, maybe I had an inkling that trauma was impacting how I felt. I had an inkling that there were people in the world that I felt really good with. And there's people in the world that just kind of like magnetically opposed mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't put the pieces together yet that it was the nervous system. And then taking Anna Hartman's class was just like the light bulb went on. Yes. And so can you dig even deeper into that nervous system and how it maybe something that happened to us when we were little kids can impact our health and our wellness, fitness, all of that as adults later when we're experiencing more trauma?
I mean, I can try. I am not that kind of doctor. That's a joke in my clinic. I'm like, listen, I'm not that kind of doctor.
I know. I'm like the doctor that helps people.
Right. I'm not a therapist.
Right.
I've done therapy myself for that same reason. And some of this, you know, came from my own personal journey, which I, you know, realize every morning going into the clinic, man, it doesn't matter what hard thing is happening in my life. I need to make sure my nervous system is settled before I
yes.
touch anybody or talk to anybody. And it does. It's what they. I just actually saw yesterday this sort of piece of art that's titled Love, and it was all over the internet. It's basically two people sitting back to back, and like these glowing inner children are inside their bodies.
Kind oh, cool!
Of touching each other, which is really cool, but it embodies a lot. Like we learn to function. We learn to use our nervous systems and interact with our nervous systems when we're kids, when we don't even know what we're doing yet. So how your family operates, how the experiences that you have and how you're guided through those. You know, if you have, I had great parents. I love my parents, but they were very much like, you got to figure it out. You got to suck it up and you got to figure it out. And you know, we were kind of little adults from the beginning, which I appreciate, but then a lot of some of this emotional stuff that's come on later, I don't necessarily know how to deal with it because our family automatically went into do things mode, plan stuff, execute, mm-hmm. just adult your way through it. You're going to be fine. And that doesn't always, like with relationships and people, doesn't always get you the product that you want, or it just creates the sort of tension because we all know that's not the way the world works. You can plan and adult through something and it doesn't always work out the way that you want it to. And so then what that does to your whole brain and psyche. But yeah, there's adverse childhood experiences that sort of sit and live in your body. And, you know, and people talk about triggers and there's a lot of psychological words involved, but we all have things that make us tense and maybe we don't understand why. And that's the first thing, like, I want people to pay attention to, like, ask that question. Why is that? Why might I not be comfortable with that? And that's where a good mental health professional will just ask questions and let you answer and ask questions and let you answer. And it's tough, again, in the first responder populations because they don't love to go see therapists. But sometimes I will sneak around and say, okay, you're feeling that tension. And I'm picking up on the idea that this is a previous incident, either in their jobs or in their lives, that they're either not aware of or they don't want to talk about. Well, you can give them physical things to help them sort of sort that out on their own. And breathing exercises are probably the most common, but you can make it, you know, if you tweak how you do a lunge and how you're breathing while you do that lunge and what your awareness is while you do that lunge, you can use that lunge to sort of modulate your nervous system in a way that settles down that tension. So maybe then you can think more clearly about what's causing that. So I don't know if that's as deep as you wanted, but
no,
in terms of my understanding, yeah. And there's some controversy like in science about the polyvagal ladder and whether or not it's true. And I think it's like so many areas of science, right? It's a framework that helps us understand it. And then there's places where we can make alterations in the framework for individual cases because the human body and brain are just such miracles. And they're so individual. And as scientists, as healthcare practitioners, we like to get in and be like, we know this. But we don't really know. Every individual is so different. There's so many moving parts. And so the body keeps the score, I think, is for Tracy and Becky and I, where we all started. And we also read, it's called Lifting Heavy Things, that I think we borrowed that a little bit for our title at TSEC in 2022. But it's, you know, it's about a woman who had, I think she had, was a victim of rape. And, you know, had a rough childhood and then just started having severe back pain, and weightlifting was kind of her way out of that because of how empowering it can be. And so she gives tips throughout that book. It's a really great book, tips throughout the book on how to use weightlifting and how to focus your attention, how to incorporate rhythmic activities and breathing, and just really eye-opening and how simple it can be. To identify those things that bug us either from our childhood or from previous job experiences and to sort of settle them down before you lift or before you try to do rehab. And then how subsequently that exercise also helps you to sort of process that.
So I am going to put the book Lifting Heavy Things and The Body Keeps the Score, both of those I think are fantastic. I'm going to put those in the show notes. And you hit on it for one second. Are you comfortable riffing a little bit on that polyvagal ladder theory?
I wish I had the chart. I talk about it so much, but then like somebody asks a question sometimes and I'm like frozen up. So it's the idea of the window of tolerance. And this is what's fun is there's so many different names of all the theories and how they interact. So the idea is we all have this window of tolerance in which we're totally comfortable functioning. And even if things get a little stressful, and it shows, you know, you can see the charts with sympathetic tone versus parasympathetic tone. How they balance each other out. And if I remember all my movement rev stuff, parasympathetic really should be in charge. And a lot of times we take it out of charge because we're just so much more comfortable being just go, go, go all the time. So stressful things can push us out of our window of tolerance, which is essentially up the ladder. And we always go back to Dan Siegel's hand model of the brain, where you have sort of the reptile part of your brain. It's really simple and drives the bus in terms of like breathing and automatic stuff we don't think about. And then you have the more frontal cortex that does the complicated stuff. And if you're in the window of tolerance, you know, your hand is in this fist, everything is cool. The smart part of your brain is in charge. And then as soon as we get out of our window of tolerance, especially up into hyperarousal, we literally flip our lid, and that puts our reptile brain in charge and it becomes all about survival. And so then we're mean to people we love and we react in poor ways. Until everything calms down and that other part comes in. And then we look at ourselves and go, what a horrifying human being I am. Why did I react that way? And sometimes you can feel, if you're skilled at it, you feel yourself coming outside the window of your tolerance, but a lot of us aren't that aware of what that is, or we've never heard of the concept. And so we just flip and, you know, somebody, and we've all done it. We've seen people do it. And so you're moving there, and there's probably, if just in case there's like a brain scientists listening, I know I'm butchering this right now, but it's fine. It's a practical concepts. But we can also, and this is one of the things they talk about in famous on the law enforcement side, Gil Martin's book, and the title just went out of my head. Oh, Emotional Survival in Law Enforcement, that you spend all day at the top of your window of tolerance or outside of it on that hyper aroused edge, that by the time you come home, you get into the freeze part of fight, flight, or freeze. And so you may feel or act like you're hypo aroused, but it's not because your parasympathetic nervous system is in charge. It's because you just have been so stressed out that you can't care about your kids. You can't care about your life. You just, you know, want to have a beer to make the stress go away. And kind of ignore the rest of your life going on. And that's a horrifying simplification, but that is a great book. I also had read at some point Mindfulness for First Responders, which is a little more fire focused, which is another great way of getting into sort of meditation and different aspects of that to help you sort of keep in your window of tolerance. And so those are some of the concepts associated with the polyvagal ladder and this idea that that our nervous systems really can dictate our activity, our physical feeling, how our physiology is working. And it makes sense. Like from the perspective of an exercise fitness professional, like everything that happens when you exercise also happens when you start to become hyper aroused in a stressful situation. Those physiologies are almost identical. But our perception of that is what makes it an emergency versus what makes it a planned exercise for a reason. And so when we're talking about expanding our window of tolerance, you get into a safe environment, you make sure you're within that window, and then you can sort of push the edges and expand that window of tolerance, which I actually think we're seeing a lot with some of the younger recruits coming through who maybe haven't... They definitely have had stresses in their lives, but there's fewer parents like mine that were just like, you got to figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out.
We'll make sure you eat and have a place to sleep, but you're making your own decisions and you're taking your own actions. And so they haven't been allowed to fail a lot, which like I fail all the time. It's some of my best learning experience have been things that I have totally, totally messed up. But I can imagine how terrifying it is to get to where you're 20 years old and maybe you haven't experienced that, or if you've experienced it, it's you've been so scaffolded by your parents or by the people in your lives that, like, coming to an academy and doing stress inoculation where you're doing push-ups and, you know, getting yelled at, and it's nothing insulting. They're actually pretty nice, the recruits these days, but you still, there's educational reinforcement PT and there's raised voices, and like, and if you haven't experienced any of that, that would feel like trauma.
Terrifying.
Right.
I don't want anyone to yell at me while I exercise.
Yeah. Well, I call it recruit brain. Like, I try to take a deep breath and be super patient with them, because I know as soon as they're in that building, their anxiety is through the roof and they can't think straight. And they can't, I mean, their lids are just half flipped when they start their morning. And someday they're going to be great police officers. But in the meantime, they are learning to build their window of tolerance, which is a taxing activity. It's just exhausting and scary and tough. It's tough to adult.
poor little recruits. While you were talking about that, I cannot remember if it was my counselor, Cody Todd, shout out to Cody, or if it was actually Anna Hartman. Can't remember. Whomever it was said, nervous systems thrive in the presence of another well-regulated nervous system. And so that, listeners, if you're kind of like, well, what does that have to do with anything? Remember what Anna said. She gets her nervous system ready before she treats her patients. And so if you have ever gone to a physician or an athletic trainer or a physical therapist and just felt unsettled, might not be the one for you. Might not be the one for you. All right. So you mentioned the WellFit Club. And before yes. I get to that, I want to talk about first what you've been doing and how long you've been doing it for Fairfax law enforcement first. Tell me more. Give me the deets.
So I came to Fairfax County Police Department in 2017 after doing, I did almost 6 years at the Drug Enforcement Administration at their training academy at Quantico as their athletic trainer. So that was really my first introduction to being an athletic trainer for a law enforcement agency. But it's totally different, right? Federal law enforcement, mostly recruits. I did end up with a little bit of a national fan club, because the DEA would send their agents back for training, and they would come to meet with their problems, and I'm like trying to get them home exercise programs and talking to them. They'll send me an email, and so I did some incumbent agents, but it was mostly just keeping recruits in. And since that's a residential academy, I maybe had 3 days, maybe a week, to cure whatever was wrong with them, so they could function again. And if they couldn't, they'd have to go back to where their home office is and try again later. And so much different environment at Fairfax, and I love it. So Nancy Burke, who's famous in the athletic training world and in the tactical world, kind of invented regional law enforcement athletic training by starting the program at Fairfax County about 20 years ago. And she finally got to where she wanted to retire. And I say finally, because she worked an entire Fairfax County Public Schools athletic training job, like as a high school athletic trainer, she retired from that and then started the program and worked it for 12 years. So just incredible energy. And in I hope that I have that kind of energy. And she was getting ready to retire. And I thought, well, this seems like it's definitely a better job just logistically, because I was a contractor through the federal government. And so you're just a body filling space so the contracting company can make their money. And so I'm very oriented towards, well, how can I make things better? How can I improve? And in that contract situation, they were like, we just need you to do this in the little box.
Stay in the box, Anna.
And I'm so like, I just want to help everybody. And so I'm not good at that. And so I applied along with 60 of my best friends and colleagues. I think Nancy said 60 people applied and they picked me. And every day I feel incredibly blessed by that. And but it was a whole different world from the Drug Enforcement Administration. And I appreciate that time so much. I love the agents. Because of the way the buildings work, like I had to directly observe control tactics and firearms, you know, day in and day out. And I was on site for all of that. And so I have a better understanding of those mechanics and training and some of the training issues. And so it was a great sort of education moving into the training academy at Fairfax County, and then coming in and doing that. So I've been there for almost 7 years now. Hopefully have improved the program. I mean, it was such a great program to begin with. It's hard to say that. Like, I don't want anybody to hear this and think that I think I'm better than Nancy. She was amazing. The way she structured it really is genius, in terms of, you know, how I work with workers' comp and our third party administrator and all the ways that we fill gaps. But, I have a little bit more of a rehabilitation, background and mindset, because of the work I did at the DEA, because of the work I did with Disney. And so I still have that emergency acute response, but we run part of it like it's a rehab clinic, that you could just kind of make an appointment and come in, and we'll do post-op, we'll do pre-op, we'll do work-related, non-work-related. It's busy. And I love it. I love every minute of it. For a while, I was running the satellite clinic out of one of the stations. We recently had some shift changes that made that less practical than staying in the clinic. So I'm at the academy 5 days a week now, except for my admin day. And just filling in those healthcare gaps, right? So with recruits, it's very much like having a sport that just does running and wrestling.
And, oh my God.
So I'm on site for recruits and they have all the problems. Like this week this class is ringworm, random abdominal pains.
Gross.
It's all the things you would expect from like high school and college sports, all the random general medical stuff, ear infections. I don't feel good today. Can you help me figure out why? And half the time it's the anxiety of their life overwhelms them. And then the anxiety of the academy piles on. And then the incumbent officers, because I can see work and non-work related, they can either make an appointment or walk in. And so those are going to be mostly musculoskeletal, orthopedic type rehabs, but sometimes they bring in crazy stuff.
Shocking.
Right. Well, I've been there long enough now that there's such an incredible level of trust and they're so fun to work with, but sometimes I have to remind them, like, I'm not a doctor. This needs to go to a real doctor, and I appreciate your trust in me, and I'm going to walk through this with you every step of the way, but no, I cannot perform that surgery. And that's an exaggeration, but they are so trusting. They would let me do anything for them. And sometimes like this type of rehab, because you've had the PRP shot or because this procedure is what happened, you need to go start with a physical therapist. And we have Nate Pierce. So if we can get him to Nate, we'll send him to Nate. Otherwise, there's great PTs in the area. But it's funny, sometimes at this sweet talk, I'm like, look, I can't fill that gap, but I know somebody who can. I guess day in the life. So I switched my schedule around. So we have two shifts right now, 6 to 6:30 on either side of the day or night. I work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 to 2. Tuesday, Thursday, 10 to 6, because that gives some midnight people would rather go in on their way to work, and some midnight people would rather come off shift at the 6 a.m. spot. So I'm a morning person, so that's not a big deal. I had to open my clinic at the DEA at 5:30 in the morning every morning. So 6 o'clock feels like a gift. And it's just, you know, I know what appointments I have, and so I plan out those rehabilitation plans. We call them the evil plans. And then it's just open door and people can wander in whenever with whatever pain and injury they've had. And I have meetings, so I'm involved administratively with medical restricted duty, just kind of helping those guys keep on track and advocating for various patients, because there's such a miscommunication so often between people in like human resources and like the civilian side. And even sometimes the command side of, you know, this seems like this is taking longer than it should to heal. Is this person slacking off? And I'm just a choice. They don't have to bring their work-related stuff to me. I'm considered a panel provider for work-related injuries. So we like when they come to me, but they don't have to. But just sometimes there's just as a need for that communication for me to be able to say, no, I'm rehabbing with this person. Look, maybe their attitude hasn't been great, but in my office, they work as hard as they can. And they regularly express that they are trying as hard as they can to get back to work. And so in those meeting spaces, it's really important for the officers to have that voice to be able to say like, no, like, I understand what you're saying. I've had some hard conversations with that person myself. but here's what is actually happening when they come to my office and they're making progress, or even just explaining the nature of the surgery or the nature of the injury. That's become more common now that more doctors are trying to let people rehab like a partial ACL versus immediately going into surgery, because you're going to do that rehab for probably 4 to 6 months and then maybe decide that's not good enough and opt for the surgery, in which case then we've got another, you know, 6 to 8 months, and there are rules about how long you can be on light duty before they try to medically retire you. And so looking at those policies and being able to say, look, this person has been trying their best to get back, but they should still have the right to make those choices in terms of surgical or not surgical. And so, like, I get what the county rules are, but when you consider whether or not they're worthy of a waiver, let's take all these kids. And that's not something that, you know, an HR professional or a member of the command staff might be aware of, it, unless they have like a really great nerdy obsession with sports medicine.
The best people in the world have a great nerdy obsession with sports medicine, I
yes,
think.
I think so. I'm biased in that way, but yeah. So, yeah, and the clinic is a little bit weird because it's how meaningful it is to the officer depends on what I do. Sometimes they just come in for a Band-Aid, or they're bleeding, or they need an initial eval, and I got to send them to a doctor, and then they get all their care on the outside. And some people spend months doing their rehabs in there. And for some people, I'm just a case manager helping keep track of our third-party administrator, who, like many of them, they're understaffed like the rest of the world and can be a little bit slow in their responses in, you know, helping the officer understand, look, this isn't personal. This, you're not being persecuted by anybody. They just sometimes have a not great day at their job, just like we all do. And so being able to mediate and those types of things, just references, resources, pelvic health doctors, like weird specialties that people, not that pelvic health is a weird specialty, but it's a hard to find one. And one that you don't get requests for very often, and resources on exercise and pregnancy, which is huge, and all of that kind of stuff. So it's really fun because no day is ever the same. And sometimes, you know, classic athletic training is what I'm doing for them. And sometimes what I'm doing, I mean, I've done CPR on people, like skull fractures, like there are those days still. and a lot of times it's a space that they can come and be themselves and relax. It's, they're so patient waiting because they're getting paid half the time, to wait when I've got like a crowd in there. But it's also, they have reunions with their classmates, because, you know, they're all either waiting or being treated as officers they haven't seen for ages and ages, or now they're getting a chance to interact with fire, which is its own hysterical. It should be like, so it's just a really cool environment. And I think, and we have puppies or bears on the TV at all times, live cameras of animals. And it's just it's a place within their little workspace. So it's kind of safe. And they know they're going to get some kind of help, but whether that's athletic training or manual therapy or just a place to sit and relax for a minute and watch puppies on TV. It fills in a lot of those gaps and gives them a place to feel good for a minute.
So I'm just going to, this is a fill in the blank, Anna.
Okay.
My name is Anna and I am responsible for the treatment of blank officers.
I think we're like at 1300 right now.
Holy cannoli. Okay. So, and you are the only athletic trainer.
And that's just law enforcement.
Right. This is where I'm going. You're the only athletic trainer.
Yes.
And now we are collaborating with fire too, yes, which is amazing.
Yes.
And I feel
terrifying.
Terrifying. And you need 16 more sets of hands. Yes. So tell me about the collaboration with fire, because I think it's so fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. And I think in the beginning, it was there were some things going on in my personal life, so my bandwidth was a little bit stretched. And the clinic is so busy at all times. And the pandemic, I think, has increased that, because there's it's a trust issue. Mm. At least for law enforcement. Is the outside world safe for us to go get care in? And I think we have started to get past that a little bit, but there was a period of time when people were like, well, if you can't solve this problem, it's not getting solved.
And shoot.
Which, yeah, incredibly flattering, no pressure. But so anyway, so it's really weird because early in my career with Fairfax, there's actually an athletic trainer who works as one of our paramedics, shout out to Vern. And he wanted to send people to me all the time. But at the time, the two agencies were not getting along so well. And I very much, you dance with the person who's paying your paycheck. And I was told absolutely not. And so, so I had to tell Vernon that. And so, but we had a change in chiefs. And really, since I came out, so when I came out in 2017, my first goal, even though I knew we needed a second athletic trainer, was to get a strength coach. Because so many of the injuries during that time were related to just bad exercise, like officers trying to do the right thing, not having a lot of guidance, only having the world of social media for guidance.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah. And so, but I was told early on, like, you can't have a strength coach. So we had an officer working with me at the time who was running recruit PT and had a natural interest for it and had gotten his TSAC-F, had lived through his CrossFit phase and come out of that. And I actually encouraged him and he got his CSCS at some point. But he's an MPO, so he has to deal with the whole rank structure. And so he and I are trying to start basically what WellFit is just on the police side. And we met with Jake during that time and I had Karen Maslona helping us out too. That other officer was Jarvis. Shout out to Jarvis. He's retired now. And now I've totally forgotten the question. Yeah.
This is what happens when we record early in the morning.
Yeah.
So you have 1,300-ish officers, and now just for funsies, you're going to go to the fireside.
Yeah. So that was an unnecessary tangent, but we tried to get WellFit going because I knew that would reduce injuries. And Nancy was so much better at getting out and doing preventative, but once I sort of got in and started doing more rehabs and the officers began to trust those rehabs, I didn't have as much time for the preventative stuff. And so I knew I needed help there. And so, so just because of the chief and logistics, like, Brandon Holder, shout out to Brandon, who is just a good human being. And then Jake tried to help us get that started, but Brandon came in through like kind of a contract we had just for the recruits. And he was there right as Chief Davis started. And Chief Davis had so much more of an interest in the fitness and wellness of the officers than our previous chief. And so it was like this magic thing that happened that he's working out with Jake and all the stuff that I've been grinding for 4 or 5 years suddenly started happening. And so we were able to steal Brandon from his previous employer. Sorry about that. Not sorry at all.
Sorry, not sorry.
Right, exactly. And get that started. And so now, but during that time, everything is so busy. I'm behind on my paperwork. I'm not getting any stats out. And so, so now I'm getting to the point where, with admin days, which has been huge, I've only been doing those for a year, like, cause I've got stuff that needs to go on the computer from like mid 2022. Yes. Yeah. That face is exactly how I feel about it. And so, yikes. Yeah. And so, so yes, we need a second person. And in fact, when the collaboration with Fire started, that was my thing to them. I was like, look, I think the way, cause they're work-related injury thing works slightly differently than ours, even though we share an occupational health center. I said, like, they can come by the clinic anytime. Like, the appointments are open to anybody. It's on, we use the scheduler, they give the link. I said, but where you guys could really use an athletic trainer is your academy.
Yes.
And the interventions of the academy. And they're still figuring that out. Because of course, like, things change. Like, there's movement always in command and priority. And, you know, we brought on Megan to the police department, the dietitian, who has been huge, and we could use probably 6 more of her because of the police officers really love to do the one-on-ones.
Yeah. And the world needs 6 more of Megan. Period.
Yes, the world does need 6 more of Megan. So I'm glad she's working on that. So it's going to take some time. I think now that I'm regularly getting out statistics, clinic statistics on time, that's going to be helpful. I think once I start to see more firefighters, and I will tell you, I've started to do more continuing education and fire injuries and heat exhaustion and all the different things. And it just blows me away every single time. I'm like, I have never taken the time to sit and think about any of this before. And I can tell you so many of the things that police officers struggle with. And so now I'm getting, you know, firefighters in, but most of the time for them, and this is why it's hilarious in my office when they come in, so far, most of the time I'm seeing they're more recreational injuries. golf and vacation related
pickleball. Yeah.
What am I doing on my next, you know, time off? And I don't have any of that terminology down for them. And I get officers in there who like at the end of their midnight shift doing nothing but calls for 12 and a half hours. And then you've got a firefighter that's in there talking about his golf game. And I'm like,
we're going to come to fisticuffs at some point.
I'm like, what could go wrong? It'll be fine. But no, it's fun. It's fun when you get patrol officers who recognize a firefighter they've been on calls with, and they get to talk about their various lives. And I think in the end, it's going to be good for relations. But it just sometimes I crack up because I'm like, oh my goodness, we're talking about golf and snowboarding and vacations.
And those poor officers trying to get back. I got you. Well, okay. So if we could speak directly to the Fairfax County firefighters right now, and sort of like tell them the benefits of coming over to see you and how does it work? Like, give us all those details.
Awesome. I really appreciate the opportunity to do that. Because believe it or not, our two internets, we have red net for fire and blue net, and it's not the same. Yeah. And they don't connect. And even the way that access to the academy works, I guess I'll start. So if you're a Fairfax County firefighter and you think you could use my services, you are welcome in my doors of the clinic every time. It's at the Criminal Justice Academy. You will have to, this is where it gets funny, you will have to push a button and have someone buzz you in, but just let them know you're there to see Anna. They let anybody in. It's probably bad
security.
I'm going
to go see Anna.
Yeah, come on down.
I'm here to see Anna.
They'll let anybody in. And then my cell phone number is everywhere, but if you don't have it, you can shoot me an email, which is probably still anna.sidori, or at least it will be for the time being until human resources catches up. But
we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, send me an email, I'll get you my cell phone number. But you can also just push the button at the door and somebody will buzz you in, or you shoot me a text message and I'll come out to the lobby and get you, because unfortunately, we haven't worked out that CAT card type access thing into the Criminal Justice Academy. And then you just walk into my office and with whatever health related question you have. And so I'm around for work related and non-work related injuries, or it doesn't even have to be injury. It could be pain. And so if your doctor hands you a script for PT, look, I'm not a physical therapist. I'm an athletic trainer. There are some overlaps between those scopes of practice. I will be very clear about what I can and cannot do. If it's something that's outside of my scope, I'm going to refer you either to a real doctor or to Nate Pierce, our physical therapist through occupational health. But we will do some healthcare problem solving and answer some of those questions totally free of charge. There's no co-pays. There's no tip jar. There's no... know anything. And I can perform a lot of manual therapy. I just got certified in cupping last year, which has been huge for my sciatic. Yeah, for my sciatic people and my nerve people. And it's just a different way of approaching massage, essentially. And then exercise to make things better. And so my current and maybe my first long-term firefighter. So I've seen several firefighters. All golf-related injuries. another was pre-retirement. Just wanted to know how to feel good in retirement. And so we talked about various things she could do. We had a good hour-long conversation. I sent her some home exercises and stretches and some trusted websites. Right now I'm helping somebody who, you know, kind of did an incomplete rehab after meniscus surgery. And so he's coming in twice a week and doing great. And so I've set up his exercise programs and do some manual therapy with him. And it really can look like whatever you need based on the problem you're having. And so if it's something I can't solve, humility is so huge. I gave a talk last year at University of Nebraska, and half of it was just about like when you come into these spaces with the first responders, you don't understand what they're going through. Like, as eager as they are to consider me a peer because I've been around long enough and they consider me part of the family, I'm not at all tactical or brave or any of the things you need to be to be a first responder. And so so I approach it with a humility. It's a partnership between me and the firefighter, or me and the police officer. I'm going to ask you as many questions as you're probably going to ask me. And it's just going to be a healthcare partnership between the two of us. They're all adults coming in. And so, I can't do my job without their open participation in the process, basically. So come on in. We're going to do the best we can to just get you what you need and spread a little love while you're there. And you can watch puppies and bears with us if you want.
So for all your healthcare questions, and if you want to watch puppies,
right,
go buzz the doorbell.
Right. I mean, I'm not kidding. Sometimes, especially with a chronic back pain, really any kind of chronic pain, and midnight shifts, what they need is a nap.
I agree. Right?
And as much as I try not to be like too focused on passive modalities, because it's not going to cure anything, I will put heat and stim on somebody if I think they need a nap. And I will let them heat and stim for as long as they want. And they can watch the puppies and fall asleep and just have that 30 minutes of not being out on the street.
Right.
And
being on.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so I joke a lot about it, but I tell the officers all the time, look, seriously, if it's all you need is a nap, like we'll make sure that happens for you.
Make sure that happens. Yeah. I love that. Well, speaking of puppies, I don't know if I asked you this prior. Do you have a dog?
Not currently. My puppy died in 2018 in just life circumstances. Like, I'm super serious about being a dog mom.
Yeah.
And so I had a Whippet who I really loved, and I want to get another Whippet.
They're so cute.
They're so cute, and they're so lazy.
They are?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Once they get past their terrible twos, they are so, so lazy. They just want to sleep in a spot in the sun all day. So they're just like my spirit animal.
me too.
Yeah. And they're not, and I grew up with labs. So I really love labs. And I love that's what we watch on TV is lab puppies. Shout out to the Warrior Canine Connection. They're not my puppies. People ask all the time, are those your puppies? And I'm like, I'm not insane. it's a nonprofit. They just have a live camera of their puppies all the time. And
that's crazy.
But labs like need you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a job where people, I feel like, need me all the time. Maybe sometimes they think more than I think, but the Whippets are a little more like, kind of have their own agenda. And mine was like a super diva. And so she was just like, I was just there to serve.
Pay the rent, Anna.
Right.
Buy me the food.
Right.
Give me the scratches only if I want them.
Right. Open the window. Sit down for cuddle time. It's fine. They're very cuddly, the Whippets. You can actually Google Whippet pile and you'll just find them all piled on top of each other or piled on people. And so I'm hoping once my life settles down a little bit that I will be able to have another Whippet to call with. And they're great for, I'm a runner, and so they are great running dogs, even though like I'm slow, so my Whippet used to just look bored trotting along next to me. But if you sprint them around for like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes a lot of times, that's enough. And the rest of the day they're like, it's nap time.
Anyone that runs with me looks bored. That's just Well, I want to be respectful of your time, but I want to find out, are there any parting thoughts, words of wisdom, anything you want to leave everyone with, or do we just want to drop the mic and say, we done?
Oh, man. I mean, particularly to the first responders, is that it's worth it to take care of yourself. That's it. Because so many times, it's my main job, even though I have all this knowledge in physiology and biomechanics and rehab and manual therapy and all these skills, but the hardest barrier is them feeling like it's worth it to take care of themselves.
Yes.
Versus continuing to focus on their families, the people they're helping in the community, the other officers that they're helping now. And I think that's all super, super admirable. And they've heard the sort of you can't pour from an empty cup sort of thing. But that's easier for all of us to hear than it is to do. And so... Mm-hmm. Or all the first responders listening, it is worth it for you to take care of yourself sooner versus later, whatever that looks like.
Oh my God. So good. And we can totally, totally drop the mic. So this has been AZ and superhero/supervillain, whichever you choose, Anna August, and we are officially